It's always good reading these texts like these, which are a juxtaposition of many statements of Jesus, to take them seriously. We hear them so often. This is the Son of God, the Creator of the universe, our judge, giving us advice. Now today, it starts in the first reading with Sirach. As I was reading this, I thought, God, American culture connives in this. See, I've got the power, so let's do it. Who could stop us? I got to know, I know a good lawyer. I mean, we could rip this guy off, destroy his business, take it over. Who's going to stop it? You know? I'm doing fine. I got a nice house, good health. So what's happened because I sinned? Don't be overconfident of forgiveness. And this is where, in our culture, we never think about repenting for sin. Like, really. You know, everything's going along fine. And we forget, we push down where we know we have sinned. We're not real with it, okay? We have this, you see, advice here about. I mean, it is so easy for us in this culture to just forget we've sinned and just carry on. The sign that a parish is growing in fervor is the number of confessions, not the number of attendance or the size of the collection, but the number of penitents. So, ever since we've had Eucharistic adoration across the street, which is many years now, the number of confessions has gone up and up and up. Now, the priests over there, they got to hear confessions before the Mass, every day, and after the Mass. And when I go over there, I've done that. And then you go over there on Saturday, and you're busy. Just because that's the worst sinning parish in the whole diocese? They've become conscious of what's really going on. And that's important, huh? And our Lord is very enigmatic. He starts off, you've got to figure that Mark, moved by the Holy Spirit, knew what he was doing. You see? But this and the first reading, as I was reading them, I thought of that text in 1 John. What is in the world? The concupiscence of the flesh, the concupiscence of the eyes, and the pride of life. Just walk around any mall. We're pulled into sin. Now, we have great, you know, we got nice, we get warm in our clothes, we get a, but we're assaulted day and night. Concupiscence of the flesh. There's probably never been a culture that sins more against chastity than we do. Than concupiscence of the eyes. We have a whole machine that caters to that day and night, the television. And the pride of life. Big car. House, nice clothes. That's the American ideal. I remember once seeing an ad in the New York Times. I still giggle when I think of it. Talk about a narrow little timid culture trying to act like a big shot. It says, be brave or some, be bold maybe. Wear a brown suit to work. That's brave. You know, the culture, the bourgeois culture, I guess they don't like brown suits or didn't. And that's courage. And we got people in parts of the world dying in defense of the faith And these are equal? Wearing a brown suit to work and dying for your faith? I mean, first place, who would be so enslaved to opinion that you'd give a darn what they think? You know, you found a brown suit for sale and wore it. Who cares what they think? But that's what everybody, that's it. Public opinion, you see. And so our Lord, and when you read these things, listen to him. You know, there's an edge to his voice in some of these things. This isn't just Buddha telling us how to reach nirvana. This is the Son of God telling us how to save our souls. Living in a culture where we are assaulted. The first one, if anybody gives a cup of cold water to because you belong to Christ, he won't be forgotten. Awesome. Now when you wear your collar, people are very nice to you. Sometimes this text, they're going to be surprised. They were nice to me because I belong to Christ. They will not lose their reward. Now, whoever causes one of these little ones to sin, who believe in me, be better for him. Have you ever seen a millstone? Not the little ones that the women use, but the big ones that the donkeys turn, you know? Try wrapping one of those around your neck and getting thrown into the sea. Now, he's serious. You know, this isn't something to read before we go on with the rest of the Mass. You know, he's serious. Cause one of these little ones who believe in me to sin. I'd hate to be a TV producer. I would hate to be somebody preaching heresy. The little ones are not just the young ones. They're people who, you know, they don't have a lot of education or time for education. They're working all day. And they get sidetracked. God will be merciful to them, though they're sinning. But the person who set them down that path, you know, it would be better to have a mill. Well, what's worse than that, then? See, if that's better to have that happen than what's going to happen, then what's going to happen? You see? And then, if your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. He's serious about sin. Can we avoid sin without cutting off our hand? Yeah, with the grace of the Holy Spirit. You see? But we look at these things. I don't know what we look at. We've heard them so often. I was upstairs reading these things thinking, whew, this is Jesus. This is the Word of God himself. And he's a bit net, the French would say, you know. He's a bit annoyed. And are you people all crazy? You're going on and on sinning. Don't you know you're going to die and be judged? This is Jesus talking like this. You see? If your foot causes, cut it off. This is serious. And then, this is a mark. Then a whole other set of sayings of Jesus of a completely different kind. Everyone will be salted with fire. Now what does that mean? Who knows what that means? It means somehow we're going to be put to the test. We've got to be. You see? Then another saying linked to the first one by this word salt. Salt is good, but if it comes insipid, with what will you restore its flavor? This is another form of the saying in the Sermon on the Mount, right? You are the salt of the earth. And if you run out of being salty, you're useless. It's a big gamble to be a Christian. It's only one thing we can do is be salt. If we're not doing that, yalla, we're finished. Somebody who makes $1 million and writes a check for $50,000 to a hospital. See, we've gambled everything on believing in Jesus. And so, this is the same text. And then, another saying of Jesus, of a completely different kind. Keep salt in yourselves, and you will have peace with one another. What can it mean there? What does it mean to be salty enough that you have peace with everybody? Well, I'm going to leave you that one for yourselves. You know, think. What can he possibly... What could I have in myself that could be called salt that means I'm going to be at peace with everybody? What could that be? We're going to quit. You're going to have to figure that one out.